iPads, open our Bibles, whatever form it takes, but if you had the written word, that would be good. It's also going to be up on the screen. We are starting a series now. We're going to leave Joshua for some time, but we will finish it later next year. But we're going to concentrate now on the message of Christmas from Matthew's Gospel. Now, Matthew's Gospel is a gospel that was written specifically to educate the Jewish people about their Messiah. So it's a very Jewish thing, and there's a lot in there. If you're lost with all the names at the start of Matthew, they're there for a purpose, to prove that there is a royal line on the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it comes all the way from Adam, but it's not mentioned there. It does mention Adam in Mark's Gospel, but in this one, because it's a Jewish thing, it starts in Abraham, focusing, obviously, on the son of David. So all these names, they mean something, because the sovereignty of God is working in the wonderful way to bring about the birth of Jesus through this particular royal line. Somebody asked me once, why are there so many fights and battles in the Old Testament? Well, people were trying to destroy the royal line of Jesus. Why are there so many battles and fights today? And why are Christians being persecuted? Because the devil thinks that if he persecutes Christians, Jesus will not return. So it's a similar thing that happened in the Old Testament is happening today, and it's very intensified. So turn now to Matthew's Gospel and chapter 1, and I'm going to read from verses 18 to 25. The heading in my Bible is Christ Born of Mary. Verse 18, Matthew chapter 1. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. I wonder, have you ever had a baby? Looking around, there may be some ladies that are nodding. Have you ever had a baby? Well, maybe you haven't had a baby, but maybe you know somebody who has had a baby even recently. Well, whenever it is announced in a family that a baby is on its way, families get very excited. I remember announcing about the birth of our firstborn son, our eldest. Everyone gets very excited when a baby is on the way in a family. Well, about 2,000 years ago, there was an announcement about a baby to be born. And it was the most important birth in all of history. However, there was somebody not very excited about that announcement of that baby, and that was Joseph. And we'll discover why in a moment. Well, in the Bible, it records some amazing and spectacular births. There was the Isaac born to Sarah. Sarah was a previously barren woman who couldn't have children. She was nearly 100 years old. It was an amazing miracle, but it was still the seed of a man put into the womb of a woman. It was amazing that she was barren and 100 years old. If I was to announce that our oldest member was going to have a baby, I think there would be a bit of an amazement, wouldn't there? Well, in the sovereignty of God, she had a baby. We can read the story in Genesis chapter 18, 9 to 15, verse 21 and verse 1 to 7. Now, the birth of Samuel the prophet and an anointer of kings was a miracle birth. Hannah, his mother, was barren, but God answered her prayer and opened her womb, and she had a baby. However, it all started with the seed of a man. We're told in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, that Elizabeth was barren, and she gave birth to John the Baptist in her old age. Now, these were all miracle births in their own way. However, the birth of Jesus, although miraculous, was very different to all the human births in biblical history and throughout the world. And the reason was that it was a virgin birth. The baby was conceived without a human seed. You see, a normal birth is a little miracle anyway, even in the normal way. But this was something very different. From the passage that we read, there are five things that I want to draw out for our attention. And they're all about the virgin birth. But before I do that, I want to just explain about this word betrothed, because it's in my Bible. It may be that you don't understand the culture, the Jewish culture. This betrothal stage is important. The custom of betrothal was very different from engagement in modern society. Now, the parents of a young man, chose a woman for their son to be married. And sometimes this happened many, many years before any marriage. However, there was a second stage to the betrothal, and this was the legal stage that was conducted with witnesses. Okay? And this was a legally binding contract that could only be broken through divorce. Even at this stage, there was no sexual union between the couples. And this, the sexual union happened after the official wedding ceremony, and the wedding ceremony could take place from 6 months to 6 years after this contract, depending on the age of the people. So, there we have it. There was sexual unfaithfulness during the second stage of the betrothal was considered to be adultery. So if there was any sexual contact with anybody else, that would be considered to be adultery. Now, under Mosaic law, where the Jewish people were, adultery carried the death penalty by stoning. So it's very, very serious offense, adultery. And that is why we need to understand the betrothal stage. Now, with this in mind, we come to verse 18. That we read just now. And it's very clear from verse 18 that Mary was a virgin and she had had no sexual intercourse with Joseph. Now, humanly speaking, yes, it was impossible for Mary to conceive and have a baby in the normal way. Something very miraculous has to happen if someone's going to have a baby without the seed of man. However, this fact is the most important fact of the whole Christmas story. Somebody was born without a human seed. Never happened in history, and it never will happen. Without the virgin birth, we would have no reason to celebrate this Christmas. We may enjoy Kentucky Fried Chicken, KFC, we may eat Christmas cake, we may receive presents, but the real celebration is concerning the fact of the virgin birth. God coming to this world in the form of a baby. And God is the only person who can make something out of nothing. Everybody needs matter or something to make something out of something. But God doesn't need anything. The Holy Spirit of God can create something out of nothing. It is an incredible fact, but it's a fact that we must believe, or else we have nothing to celebrate this Christmas. I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you actually believe in the virgin birth? God left the glory of heaven to come to this world in a supernatural seed implanted into the womb of a virgin, growing in the normal way that a baby grows in the womb, but without any inbred human sin. Everyone born into this world is born with inbred sin, sinful heart. We can't help it. It's a fact of life. In Romans chapter 5, verses 12, it says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death and so spread to everyone, for everyone has sinned. So everyone born in the normal way will have a sinful nature. However, Jesus was not born in the normal way, so therefore he did not have inbred sin in his heart. Now it's very important that we understand this. In the religious world, it doesn't matter whose teaching you follow, they were all born with a sinful human nature. However, Jesus was different. He came into the world without any sinful nature in his heart, and the virgin birth is a fact that we must believe if we're really going to enjoy the true meaning of Christmas. So first of all, the fact of the virgin birth, verse 18. Secondly, the virgin birth confronted, verses 19 to 20. In verses 19 to 20, the virgin birth is confronted by Joseph. We're told that Joseph was a just and upright man, although he would have been very upset by the fact that his betrothed wife was pregnant. He wouldn't really want her to be stoned to death for adultery. And he thought about ways to protect Mary from her situation. While Joseph was thinking about this, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. The angel said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Well, we know from Luke chapter 1, verses 26, that that angel was called Gabriel. We also know that Mary was 4 months pregnant at the time. She'd spent 3 months with her relative Elizabeth. We learn that from Luke chapter 1, 36 and 56. Joseph had to believe what the angel told him. He had to believe that the Holy Spirit of God somehow placed a seed in the womb of his intended wife. Now, this was a big thing for Joseph to believe. And it's actually a big thing for us to believe too, because it requires a lot of faith, or it required a lot of faith on the part of Joseph to believe the angel. However, the angel didn't just announce the fact of the miracle birth by the Holy Spirit. The angel explained the reason for it. And so we move now to verse 21. The virgin birth explained. Why the virgin birth? What's it all about? The angel told Joseph that Mary would have a son. Remember, no baby scanning in those days. So how did he know it would be a son? Well, the angel said that Joseph must call his name Jesus. So not only was the sex decided, but the name was decided too. The angel said that Joseph must call his name Jesus, and that he, that is Jesus, will save his people from their sins. Now, Jesus is a Hebrew word, a Hebrew form of the word Joshua, and it means Jehovah will save. So up to now, a lot of people have been called Joshua, testifying in their names to the Lord God's salvation. However, but this Jesus, or Joshua, who would be born to Mary, not only would testify of God's salvation, but but he himself would be that salvation. By his own work, he would save his people from their sins. The rescue plan, which God had promised thousands of years ago, was about to happen. This baby was to be born through Mary, and this baby was going to save the Jewish people from their sins. That is what it says in the text. Up to now, God had accepted the sacrifice of animals as a covering for sin. The whole Jewish nation knew the seriousness of sin and the fact that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. The angel was in fact saying that this baby in Mary's womb would grow up to be the savior and the rescuer of the whole Jewish nation. Now, this must have been very exciting for Joseph. One moment, he was thinking about how to hide Mary's disgrace. The next moment, he would be rejoicing that God had favored his bride with such an important mission. And the angel didn't just stop there. He gave more information to Joseph. The virgin birth was prophesied, verses 22 and 23. Now, at this point, Matthew explains that Jesus' birth was predicted by God through the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament 750 years before the event. Now, if we read this prophecy in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, in its context, what it meant at the time when Isaiah spoke it, we'll find it very difficult to work out why God spoke through Isaiah at this point in Israel's history. Now, it took me a long time to get to the bottom of it, but it is worth noting. And I'm going to try and explain it to you. The scene in Isaiah chapter 7 is the reign of King Ahaz. Now, King Ahaz was a wicked king, and he filled Jerusalem with idols, and he even burnt his own son as a sacrifice to the god Molech. Let us read now Isaiah chapter 7, verses 1 to 14. I'm reading from the New Living Translation so you fully understand the text. Verse 7. When Ahaz, son of Jotham and grandson of Uzziah, was king of Judah, King Rezin of Syria and Pekah, son of Remaliah, the king of Israel, set out to attack Jerusalem. However, they were unable to carry out their plan. The news had come to the royal court of Judah, Syria is allied with Israel against us. So the hearts of the king and his people trembled with fear like trees shaking in a storm. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, take your son, Shear Jashab, and go out to meet King Ahaz. You will find him at the end of the aqueduct that feeds water into the upper pool, near the road leading to the field where cloth is washed. Tell him to stop worrying. Tell him that he doesn't need to fear the fierce anger of those two burnt-out embers, King Rezin of Syria and Pekah, son of Remaliah. Yes, the kings of Israel and Israel are plotting against him, saying, we will attack Judah and capture it for ourselves. Then we will install the son of Tabeel as Judah's king. But this is what the sovereign Lord says. This invasion will never happen. It will never take place, for Syria is no stronger than its capital, Damascus. And Damascus is no stronger than its king, Rezin. For Israel, within 65 years, it will be crushed and completely destroyed. Israel is no stronger than its capital, Samaria, and Samaria is no stronger than its king, Pekah, son of Remaliah. Unless your faith is firm, I cannot make you stand firm. Then the sign of Emmanuel. Later the Lord sent his message to King Ahaz, ask the Lord your God for a sign of confirmation. Ahaz, that's Ahaz, make it as difficult as you want, as high as heaven or as deep as the place of the dead. But the king refused. No, he said, I will not test the Lord like that. Then Isaiah said, listen, you royal family of David, isn't it enough to exhaust human patience? Must you exhaust the patience of God as well? All right then, and this is what Isaiah says, all right then, the Lord himself, that's God himself, will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Right. Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, king of Israel, decided to remove Ahaz and replace him with a king who would go their own way. This was a threat to the people of Israel and the royal line that would bring forth the Messiah Jesus. So Ahaz, instead of turning to God for help, sought the help of the evil king of Assyria. And he even took gold and silver from the temple to help to pay him. Isaiah came to Ahaz and told him that God will deliver the people from the two enemy kings. And when Ahaz refused to listen, Isaiah responded with the amazing prophecy. So how does this prophecy fit in this ancient scene? Well, Isaiah was telling the ancient people that no one would destroy the people of God or the royal line of David. The prophet Isaiah used the word you in the plural, indicating that Isaiah was speaking to the entire nation. God would not allow anyone to destroy his chosen people fully or affect the royal line to the Messiah. So God was in charge of the situation back in Isaiah's day, even though the men did their best to try and prevent it. And God said, well, hang on a minute. There will come a day, one day, when the virgin will conceive and bear a son. 750 years. We can't even predict the weather tomorrow. But God knew exactly when it would come, what would come, who it would come through, and what would happen. And that was a sign. So I know these people weren't alive when it happened, but God fulfilled his promise. And then finally, we have the virgin birth protected in verses 24 and 25. Now, Joseph immediately obeyed as the angel had commanded him. He protected their relationship by getting married, even though she was pregnant. And he didn't have a honeymoon and the way we had a honeymoon. There was no sex on his honeymoon. In fact, not until Mary had given birth to a son. So we've got to give Joseph some credit there. As a final act of obedience, Joseph called his name Jesus. So he obeyed what the angel had said, called his name Jesus. This supernatural birth of Jesus is the only way to account for the life that Jesus lived. A skeptic once said, who denied the virgin birth, once asked a Christian, if I told you that that child over there was born without a human father, would you believe me? And the believer replied to the skeptic, yes, if he lived as Jesus lived. The greatest evidence we have of the virgin birth is the way that Jesus lived his life. Jesus lived his life with 100% purity, exactly the same as God is. And Jesus also fulfilled his purpose by being nailed to a cross. And he took the punishment of the sins of all the people who would eventually put their faith and trust in him. So he took your sin if you want to put your faith and trust in him. And yes, we celebrate the birth of Jesus at Christmas, but it's actually through his death that we are saved from our sins. What about an application? Well, there are quite a few applications that we could pick out, but because of the length of the service, I wanted to draw it to a close here just with one important application. The big one that we must draw out here is we must put our faith and trust in God's word, even if it sounds ridiculous or impossible in the human realm. Joseph trusted in the words of the angel concerning Mary and the virgin birth, even though it seemed impossible. We live in a world today that wants to deny the Christian faith, because to believe the Christian faith, you've got to believe in a miracle. This Christmas, believing in a Jesus that left the glory of a holy place called heaven to come to this earth to be your own personal savior sounds too good to be true. However, it is true. And if you want to celebrate Christmas with joy this year, then you need to put your faith and trust in Jesus, who left the glory of heaven to come to this world specifically to die for your sins, that you might be united with God. And one day when you die, you'll be raised from the dead eventually, and you'll have a new name, a new body, and you'll live in the perfect world that God will create without sin. Perhaps you're new to Christianity. Perhaps you don't know very much. Well, may I suggest that you purchase a Bible, English or Japanese, whatever your language is, and that you read through John's Gospel. And if you want to understand John's Gospel, go on the website of OIC, because I've just taught through the whole of John's Gospel, apart from the end bit, which I'll do at Easter. And that will give you some idea what God wants you to know this Christmas. And then maybe this Christmas you'll have real joy as you put your faith and trust in Him. You may enjoy Kentucky Fried Chicken. I do too sometimes. I've only had it once since I've been here. You may enjoy all the lights, and that's fine too, and the cake and the holiday, but it won't touch your heart. The only thing that will touch your heart this Christmas, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus. Let's pray.